Our Father in heaven, we come before you, we rejoice that once again this afternoon we can open your holy word to be taught from it. And we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit as we read from your word. Grant insight, grant understanding, so that we might truly see the wondrous things which you have recorded in your word. We also pray that you would bless the proclamation of this word this afternoon. Give your servant the strength to proclaim with boldness. And we pray that all of us here might be reminded and encouraged once again that you are the God who provides for his people and that our trust belongs in you and in nobody else. This we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. This afternoon, we'll be giving our attention to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And in connection with that, we'll turn to Scripture. This afternoon, we'll open up to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we'll read together the verses 1 through 40. Hear then the word of the Lord. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing, and when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they'd eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So far from Scripture this afternoon. In consideration of the fourth petition, we'll also open to the Heidelberg Catechism, and this afternoon we'll turn to Lord's Day 50, which deals with the fourth petition. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50, asks this question, What does the fourth petition mean? And the answer, Give us this day our daily bread means, provide for all our physical needs, so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Brothers and sisters of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, I think you'll agree with me that our lives are completely filled with bread. If you go to any house, I'm sure you're going to see bread of one sort or another on the counter. And for some of us, we can actually be very specific about the type of bread that we like. I know for myself, there's a very specific loaf of bread that my wife buys from Costco. I just love the stuff. The taste and the texture is just right. And there's so much bread around us, so many options to choose from, that bread, it can easily become something which we as people in this world take for granted. We can so easily lose sight of the fact that even something as common or as ordinary as our daily bread is actually a blessing which comes only from the hand of our Heavenly Father. And of course, we can expand our thinking here and realize it's not just the bread. But you can think about the entire process which it takes to get bread onto your table in the first place. There has to be farmers who will plant the seed, and the crop has to grow. They have to harvest the crop and then bring that to the mill and make it into flour. And then the baker makes it into flour, and then somehow they bring it to the store, and then you buy it, and then finally, this bread shows up on your table or on the counter in your house. There's actually a lot of steps involved there. You know, it's so easy just to assume that bread will be there without giving it a second thought. And it's so easy to assume that all these things involved will just carry on as they always have. But this afternoon, the fourth petition, it comes to us as a real strong reminder. A reminder that without the blessing of the Lord God, without the blessing of our Heavenly Father, even something as simple, as ordinary as our daily bread would be lacking. And of course, our catechism, it expands on this. It's not just daily bread, but it's all of our physical needs. Everything which we have, which we need to sustain our lives, is a blessing from the hand of our Heavenly Father. And so praying the fourth petition, what it does for us is it reminds us that God, He is this fountain of all good. It reminds us that God is the one who gives us our daily bread. And it also reminds us that God is the one in whom we should place all of our trust when it comes to our needs. And so the theme for this afternoon is trust in the Lord, for He will provide. And we'll see two things: bread for today and also bread for eternity. And so we started this worship service this afternoon by singing from Psalm 104. And in this psalm, we see a beautiful confession which the psalmist gives of the care which God extends over all of His creation. We sang in verse 5 of Psalm 104, He, that's God, makes grass to grow for cattle, plants for man to cultivate. And when I read that verse in Scripture, I was actually rather struck by it once again. And the reason is because over this past summer, I had attempted to patch up some of the bare spots in our backyard with some grass seed. And if any of you have ever planted grass seed or maybe planted flowers, I'm sure you're able to relate to this in one way or another. What's the process? Well, you prepare the soil, you add the seed, you water the ground, or maybe you pray to God to water your crop, and then you just sit back and you wait. And as you wait, sure enough, 2 weeks later, what happens? Well, you start to see these little bits of grass or whatever else you planted in your garden start to grow from the ground. Now, we could just say, yeah, of course that's going to happen. That's what happens when you plant seed in the ground. That's a natural process. But Psalm 104 comes to us this afternoon and it reminds us that, yes, that's the process, but there's actually someone behind that process. And that someone is God. It is God who actually causes the grass to grow. It's God who gives to man plants for us to reap and sow. We might be the ones who plant the seed in the ground and add the water, but truly it is only God who gives the growth. And so for this reason, we sang as well in Psalm 104, verse 9, all creatures look to You, Lord, waiting for the food that they need. And so we, together with all of the animals in God's creation, we depend entirely on God for our food. God is the great provider. He is the one who sustains all of His creation. And if we think back to the very beginning of the world, the beginning of heaven and earth, when God first created the world and put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we see the exact same thing taking place there as well. We can read, for example, in Genesis 1, verse 29, God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." Already here in the Garden of Eden, in that beautiful state of perfection, God was providing for the people that He had created. And we can think a little bit past this as well and think about the time of Noah and his family. God, of course, sent the great flood to wipe out all life on earth except for Noah, his three sons and all of their wives and the animals. And when Noah comes out of the ark, then God gives to him this beautiful promise. In Genesis 8, verse 22, and God says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease." It's such an incredible promise, brothers and sisters, this promise that for as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. And if you think about it, it's a promise that we still today are reaping the benefits from, quite literally. God is the great provider. And when we pray the fourth petition, we're praying, first of all, that God would help us to recognize that God is the source of everything good. We're praying that God would help us to recognize that were it not for His blessing, were it not for His care over all of creation, then even something like our daily bread would be missing from our tables. And in our passage from John chapter 6 this afternoon, God reveals to us, He shows us through His Son Jesus Christ just how powerful, how capable He is to provide us with our daily bread. We saw in that passage that with nothing more than those 5 loaves and the 2 small fish, Jesus Christ feeds this massive crowd of 5,000 or more people with 12 baskets full left behind. You know, what a display of power, of sovereign ability to feed His people. And if we look at our text in verse 14, the people know that a miracle has taken place. It says in verse 14, when the people saw the sign that He had done, they said, "This indeed is a prophet who was to come into the world." They knew something miraculous had taken place through this man, Jesus Christ. And I believe that it can also be said of us that when it comes to things like miracles, even though we might not be the people who typically looks for miracles or who might see miracles in our day-to-day life, I'm sure there's many of us here this afternoon who can relate, either in their own life or in the life of someone they know, of a time when God miraculously or maybe in an unexpected way provided for you or for someone you know. And I can give a simple example. Not too long ago, a friend of mine told me that when they came to the end of the month, a few months back, they saw that they were a little bit short in their budget. They had one more grocery trip to make, and they were about $100 short of where they needed to be at the end of that month. And of course, being in a church, they were ready to pick up the phone and call their deacon for help. But before they did that, they decided to just go through their mail. And as they're opening up the mail, they came across this thank you card, which one of their friends had sent to them. A thank you note for some work that they had helped them out with in the past. And in that card was also a $100 grocery gift card as a small token of appreciation. Now again, we could just see this as chance. We could see this as happy coincidence. But for those of us with eyes to see, the hand of God really can't be missed in a situation like that. The God who is the God who causes the very grass to grow from the ground is the God who is able to powerfully provide in many ways. He's the God who can provide also for our daily bread. And knowing that this is true of God, our catechism and scripture teaches and encourages us to place all of our trust in God and in God alone. And the question for us this afternoon is, do we do that? Do we trust in God and God alone for something even as simple as daily bread? And do we joyfully recognize that God is the great provider of all things, is the one who provides for us in our day-to-day lives? You know, it can be so easy to place our trust elsewhere. It can be so easy to just trust that one way or another those farmers will get their crops in. It can be so easy to trust that the food production process will just keep chugging along as it always has. We can just trust the people involved in the process. Or maybe we can trust in ourselves, the money in our bank accounts. Money enough that surely we'll be able to buy bread for today and many days into the future. Where is our trust? Now, not that long ago, I think God actually gave us a real strong test to see where our trust was. I wonder if you remember all the shortages which the stores were having at the beginning of this pandemic. Strikingly, the shortages of toilet paper. And it wasn't just that, but it was shortages of everything. I even heard stories about people getting so angry in the grocery store when they saw someone else buying a few too many packets of yeast or flour or whatever it was. They said, "Why are you hoarding all these things? Save some for the rest of us." Now, I'm not saying that it was wrong for us to go to the store and buy a few extra things, to go to the store and stock up a little bit. But just ask yourself, in that time, in that moment, where was your trust actually placed? Did you run off to the store in a panic, hoping that they didn't sell out of what you needed? Or did you start your day confident, praying the Lord's Prayer, praying, "Give us this day our daily bread," and then trusting that one way or another, your Heavenly Father would provide for exactly what you needed for that day? Well, congregation, our Lord is in control. Our Heavenly Father, He is sovereign. He's the one, the only sovereign. And He alone is the one who is able, powerfully able, to provide us with our daily bread. And as we saw already, it's not just daily bread which this petition speaks of, but it's all physical needs. Food is one thing, but what about shelter, clothing, things like a safe home or a safe neighborhood? All of these things are things which God sovereignly gives to us. And if that wasn't enough, the Catechism also points us to the fact that our work, the work that we do, our care and our work, it can't do us any good apart from the blessing of God. And when we hear this confessed in our Catechism, it's really not hard to think of Psalm 127, that psalm that we sang before we read from Scripture. It says in that psalm, "Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord watches over the city, the builder, the watchman, they labor in vain." Working long hours, it's really of no use unless God is there, giving His blessing, blessing you on every step of the way. And we can see this truth displayed in our passage from John chapter 6 as well. If we look in John 6, verse 16 and following, the disciples of Jesus Christ decide that it's time to cross the sea. And so they get into the boat and they start across the Sea of Capernaum. And now, boys and girls, I think there's one thing that it's important to remember about these disciples, and that's that they were fishermen. Before they came disciples of Jesus Christ, they were fishermen. Fishermen who were on the sea all the time. Fishermen who knew how to row a boat. But what do we see happening in our passage? Verse 18, "The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing." They had rowed about 3 or 4 miles when they see Jesus coming. And so what's happening here? Well, the disciples, they're going out into the sea, but then the storm comes up and they're rowing and rowing against the water and they're not making any headway. They're trying to get to the other side of the sea, but they can't. Until what happens? Well, Jesus Christ comes walking on the water. And of course, that's amazing in itself. Jesus Christ, the Lord of creation, walking on the water. But then see what it says. Verse 21, "They were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going." That's a rather powerful image to hold in our minds as we go about this week of work and whatever lies before us. You know, whatever you might do, whatever skills you have, whatever technology or machinery that you have at your fingertips, just remember that your success depends on God alone. your care, your labor, as the Catechism teaches, it doesn't do us any good apart from the blessing of our Heavenly Father. Just like the disciples were rowing away in their boat, it was useless until Jesus Christ came, gave them blessing on their work, and immediately they were at the shore to which they were going. Now, I'm sure that by now many of us are starting to recognize that we don't always pray the fourth petition as our Lord Jesus Christ intended. It's a rather convicting thought to read through the Catechism about the fourth petition. And I'm sure we're starting to realize that we don't always acknowledge, or we don't always recognize, that God is the one who must bless all of our work. And I'm sure we're starting to recognize just how infrequently we come to God praying the fourth petition in the proper way, praying it in sincerity. It's very convicting for myself, and I wonder if it's convicting for some of you this afternoon as well. Well, if it is, then we can go to our Heavenly Father and we can seek repentance, seek forgiveness. We can come before the throne of our Heavenly Father. We can confess to Him that we haven't always trusted in Him as we should, that we haven't always recognized how He is this fountain of all good, the fountain of blessing. We can confess that to Him and then ask that He would work in our hearts once again to realize just how wonderful it is that He blesses us, that He provides for us. And you can know, too, that God, as a Heavenly Father, is someone who delights to hear a prayer like that from His children. Just imagine if one of your own children came up to you, maybe they've grown up a little bit, and they say to you one day, "You know, Mom or Dad, just never realized how much effort you put into my life. Never realized how much work it was to raise me, to feed me, to care for me, all these things. But now that I see everything that you've done, I'm so thankful. I'm so blessed to have you as a parent." You know, wouldn't you just love to hear your child say that to you? And then how much more wouldn't our Heavenly Father love to hear you admit to Him, admit where you fall short, but then confess once again your total dependence on Him for all your physical needs. And having confessed in that way, we can also praise God, praise Him for the wonderful grace which He shows in our life. We can praise Him for the way that He does continue to graciously provide for us and uphold the work of our hands, even when we don't always acknowledge Him for it, or when we completely forget that He's actually the one who blesses us in this way. And you can also pray this petition with a profound sense of trust. Trust, knowing that God is the only fountain of all good, and that He will provide for your needs. Providing you with bread for today, indeed, but then also bread for all eternity. One question which we would do well to ask regarding the fourth petition is, why does Christ instruct us to pray this petition? Why are we instructed to continually pray that God would provide for us with our daily bread? You know, is it true that we pray this petition simply so that we'll maintain a full belly of food? Do we pray this petition simply so that we'll be able to live a comfortable life? Maybe a life which is a little bit more comfortable than our neighbors beside us? Well, no, brothers and sisters. This petition is not, first of all, about filling our bellies or about living a comfortable life. No, this petition is actually about serving the Lord in our lives. How can we say that? Well, consider the position of the fourth petition. It's the fourth petition, which means it comes after the first three. And what are those first three? Well, it's all about God. You can think about the Lord's Prayer. It starts off with, "Hallowed be your name. your kingdom come, and then your will be done. And only after those three do we get to the part about give us this day our daily bread. We pray for daily bread so that we can carry out these other three petitions which God gives to us, so that we can carry out God's will in our life, as he has instructed us in the Lord's Prayer and in the rest of Scripture as well. Why do we pray for daily bread? Well, it's so that we can hallow the name of God for all the mighty works he does in our life. Also the mighty work of providing for us. We pray for daily bread so that we'll have the strength, the ability to carry out God's will in whichever office, whichever calling he has given to us in this life. So praying the fourth petition, it's not about us, first of all, but it's about God. We pray the fourth petition to recognize God as a source of all good, as we've seen. But we also pray that fourth petition so that we'll be able, through the blessing that God himself provides, to seek after the kingdom of God, to seek after the righteousness of God, to strive to fulfill the will of God in our lives. And again, if we look in John chapter 6, we'll see that our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us this truth in a very striking way. In verse 22, we see that this crowd that had been fed miraculously by Jesus, they decide the next day to go looking for him. And eventually they do indeed manage to find Jesus Christ on the other side of the sea. But notice what Jesus says to them when they come to him. Verse 26. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And so Jesus, in this striking way, he exposes the motives of these people. Why did they go looking for him the next day? Well, it's because they had their bellies filled the day before. They were seeking Jesus Christ simply because of these material blessings which he had showered on them. But then what does Christ say? He says, do not work for the food that perishes, but work for the food that endures to eternal life. You can ask ourselves, why did Jesus Christ do this miracle? Why did he feed these people so miraculously? It was not so that they would keep coming to him for physical nourishment, but so that they would recognize that he was the Messiah, that he was God come in the flesh. It was so that they might believe that he was their Savior. And the crowd, we see, they just don't quite get it. They say in verse 28, you know, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And then Jesus says to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Doing the work of God means believing that Jesus was there, not simply to fill their bellies with physical food, but to fill their very souls with the true spiritual food. And you ask, what is that true spiritual food? Well, it's Jesus Christ himself. And it's so plain in our passage. Jesus says in verse 33, the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. These words from Jesus Christ, they're just amazing. They're incredible. We know all too well that in order to sustain our physical lives, we need to keep on eating. We need to eat to survive, and so we eat three times a day. Unless you're younger, then it's more like five or six times a day. You must eat to maintain your strength. And yet when we eat our food, we get hungry again. The satisfaction from the food in this life, It's so temporary. But the bread which Jesus Christ gives, the bread which comes down from heaven, the bread which is Jesus Christ himself, that bread is sufficient to fill us for all eternity. That longing in our souls to be filled is filled with Christ himself. You know, this is what we really need. And in fact, this is exactly what God created us for. We can think back to the Garden of Eden again. And also what we confess, for example, in Lord's Day 3. Why did God create us? Why were we created? Well, it was to know God, to love God, to live with God in blessed fellowship. God wants us to be satisfied in our souls with himself. That's why he made us. That's the only way for us to truly be filled. And what did he do? Well, he sent Jesus Christ down from heaven, the very bread of heaven, to do exactly that, to fill us for eternity. Jesus says in verse 39, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my heavenly Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Brothers and sisters, have you tasted the bread of life? The bread which comes down from heaven. Do you believe in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he was sent into this world by the very will of the Father, that whoever looks on him, whoever believes in him, should not perish, but should have eternal life and be raised on the last day? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, that his body was broken, that his blood was poured out, so that your sins might be forgiven, covered in the sight of God? And do you believe that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the third day, so you too will be raised with him on his glorious last day? Well, go to Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ. Feast on the bread sent down from heaven and feed your soul for all eternity. And when we know that this truly is the will of God for our lives, then it'll give us a very good perspective when we pray the fourth petition as well. We don't pray to God asking for our daily bread simply so that our bellies will be filled. No, we ask for our daily bread so that we can have the strength, the desire to seek after our heavenly bread, to believe in Jesus Christ, and then to work in his kingdom, to seek the righteousness and the kingdom of God. And if we come to the Lord's Prayer with this perspective, when we come to the fourth petition, then what are we going to ask for? What are we going to pray when we come to the petition that says, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Well, it certainly won't be extravagance. No, we'll ask God to fill us with exactly what we need to carry out his will in our life. There's a beautiful passage in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 30, verse 8, the wise man there, his name is Agur, he gives a beautiful request to God. He says in Proverbs 30, verse 8, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." What wise words, and what a blessing it is to know that God is our sovereign heavenly Father, is the God who provides for us. What a joy it is to know that we can trust so completely in our Heavenly Father and His provision in our life. And we know that He is so willing to provide because He has sent us bread from heaven, Jesus Christ. And so let us work for that bread. Let us work to believe in Jesus Christ. And then pray, give us this day our daily bread, trusting that God will indeed provide for whatever is needful in this life as we seek after Jesus Christ and after His kingdom and His righteousness. For we know that that great and glorious day is coming when Jesus Christ, the bread from heaven, will once again come down. And He'll take all those who believed in Him into the eternal joy of His Master. And what will be there? Well, we know that in heaven, one of the first things that is there is the great marriage feast of the Lamb. This feast with Jesus Christ, a feast of rich food. Food for all of those who believed in Jesus Christ, those who believed in the bread that came down from heaven. A feast with our Lord in eternity as He continues to feed us and sustain us there as well. Go to Christ, our true bread from heaven. Amen. Let's now bow our heads in prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Provide what is needful for us each and every day, so that we can recognize that You are the only fountain of all good. Provide for us exactly what we need as we seek after our Lord Jesus Christ, the true heavenly bread, as we believe in Him. And we also pray that You would provide for us exactly what is needful so that we can carry out the work which You have given to us in Your kingdom. Help us, Heavenly Father, to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness, and then to trust that You will provide for all of our bodily needs as well. For You have shown us to be a God who richly provides. And You have shown us the great abundance of Your provision by sending Jesus Christ into the world, the true bread which came down from heaven that we might believe in Him, that we might come to Him and so never hunger or thirst again. Heavenly Father, Your grace is amazing. Your love is unmatched. And we pray that You would fill us with faith, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that You would richly satisfy us with Him, the true bread from heaven. And we also pray that You would grant us contentment with what You do, bless us within this life. Help us to trust, Heavenly Father, that whatever You provide for us in our earthly sojourn is exactly what we need. And we pray that You would help us to pray this fourth petition with great confidence, knowing that You are sovereign, but also knowing that You are our Father, our loving and our faithful Heavenly Father who provides for us. Lord God, we pray also that You would bless the offerings which we bring this afternoon. Help us to joyfully share from the daily bread which You give to us. And we also pray that You would continue to give Your deacons the wisdom to distribute Your gifts, doing good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. We bring these petitions before You in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.